Hey everybody. Before today's episode, I just wanted to preface this by saying, look, I am not an audio specialist, and I tried to edit this episode as best I could. It was the first one with more than two voices, and it's a toughie. So I apologize if there's any strange choppiness in the way the segments are posted, but hopefully you'll enjoy the content more than you'll critique my abilities to edit the audio. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Pandemic Fine. I'm Steph, and I'm here with many guests today. We've got John, my husband, my friend Amy, who was in episode three,
Hi.
and her husband Justin, who is here with us. We're all in a cabin on our first vacation with friends since the pandemic began. So say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
We're just going to kind of not have a plan for this podcast episode. We're going to talk about a lot of different things and see where the road leads us. But I think that, being on vacation for the first time since the pandemic with people who are not part of our family, has been an enlightening time to think about, what's changed for us in the past year. Who are we now? Who were we when we met 10 years ago? And what have we become? The answer to that question is mostly old. We'll talk about some details of that. So I guess we'll start out. I'm going to talk about movies because I think that says a lot about people. So while I'm introducing new guests, let's just talk about our favorite lowbrow versus highbrow movie. You could also think of it as your favorite real favorite movie or your favorite movie that you're ashamed to actually share out loud. So, John, I'm going to ask you to go first.
What?
What's your favorite lowbrow versus highbrow
I
movie?
mean, I think it's really hard to pick favorites. So, I mean, I'll tell you the most recent lowbrow movie I watched within the past week, and that was Army of the Dead on Netflix. It's a movie that got a high budget.
Lowbrow.
High budget for effects, low budget for writing. And, I think it lived up to its name.
You gotta pick where you
What was it called
spend
again?
the money.
Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's your favorite highbrow movie.
There was, I will give you a little spoiler. There was zombie love in it. There was like a man and a wife zombie and they had a zombie baby.
God. All
So
right. So to cross that off my to watch
keep it
list.
on your
Yeah,
Oscars
no,
list.
you don't wanna.
Keep it on
That's
your
a safe
Oscars list.
that's a safe pass.
What's your favorite, like, good movie? You're not ashamed of sharing.
I.e. highbrow.
I mean, I do. I think we share a lot of the same. It's like Bridesmaids. I could watch that
That's
all
incredibly
day.
lowbrow. You're calling it a highbrow
I
movie?
no, I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I don't like any highbrow movie. I think
There are no
I don't want to
artsy.
think. I want to escape
I don't think that's
when I
true.
watch a
I think
movie.
you when I first met you claimed that American Psycho was your favorite. I think
I
that's
like
a highbrow movie. It makes you
I
think.
guess.
We haven't watched it in like 10 years.
But lately, since I've had
Any
kids,
Christian Bale
I
movie?
don't want to think. Like, I want to relax.
And watching
Yeah.
zombies love
I
and
want to
zombie
watch
babies is relaxing.
zombie love and zombie babies because that's all the capacity I have.
Okay, well.
I'm a disaster movie freak.
Oh.
But so I like any and all disaster movies, including any disaster TV shows, which is great. But my lowbrow movie, I would say, which I watch all the time, I think it's really close tie between Captain Ron
That's a good one.
and
Wow.
Yeah, way to
Cutthroat
VHS.
Island.
Low.
Do you know about Cutthroat Island?
No.
So it's a pirate
Pirate
movie
movie.
with a woman
Gina Davis.
pirate, with Gina Davis
I do love Gina Davis.
is the
You
pirate.
know what? That sounds
She's good
familiar.
people.
I feel like I've seen that VHS box.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, it's a
I can
classic.
picture her.
Picture it in your
It's really
mind.
great. And then my highbrow movie is also a classic, which is The Father of the Bride original.
Can't argue with that. It's a good choice.
That's high
My
theater.
absolute favorite movie
Perfectly
ever.
highbrow.
So.
I think the premise of the question is like the stuff that you admit to in mixed company, and the stuff you admit to is like, people that actually know you really well. You don't feel bad about, you know that they will love you anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, when they do that corporate icebreakers, whatever, what's your favorite movie? Like, you would never say your real favorite movie. Well, do you have to try and pick one that you think that the other people would think that, like, ooh, that, ooh.
Yeah, oh, Citizen Kane. Yeah.
He's deep. He's deep.
Well, do you consider us mixed company or people that love you?
Ooh, well, obviously.
I think you still need to impress us.
I'm still on. Oh, my favorite lowbrow. Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. I guess that's highbrow. Then I could
watch. Oh, Superbad is a great movie anytime. Too. Bridesmaids, but Bridesmaids to me is like the next level. It's a little bit higher category, so I would admit that to a crowd of people. I'm not sure I would say Pineapple Express because I think that does.
Yeah,
people are like, oh, you must love to smoke weed, and I.
I'm thinking
actually,
that right now.
I don't actually enjoy that, but I do love those movies, and I love Seth Rogen, and I have learned to tolerate his laugh. In case anybody's familiar with that. And my favorite highbrow movie. Like, I actually really do love In the Mood for Love. I know I've made John watch it. By Wong Kar-wai. It's about a couple in Hong Kong, and they have an affair. And there's, like, this amazing cinematography. Paper about it in college. That's where I found that movie. I wouldn't normally have, like, picked that up on Netflix or anything. But my favorite, like, other serious movie that maybe isn't as artsy, I think, would probably end up being a documentary, because I do love watching documentaries. Because I feel guilty when I watch a movie that I'm like, oh, I could be like doing something better with my brain right now. I better like do a documentary and learn something.
I owe it to the world.
Right. I feel pressured.
During the pandemic, it's been about, like, you know, serial killers or
lots of true crime. Murders. Lots of true crime documentaries we watch.
Have you committed a murder that you would like to admit?
No, but I'm fascinated by them.
But I'd like to think she could get away with it now.
How, like, it was so easy to get away with a crime in, like, the 70s. Mm-hmm. All these other eras.
You were an idiot if you got caught.
Yeah, because it was just such a different level of technology that they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so those are my answers. I think that during the pandemic, we definitely kept it light. Except for the true crime thing, which I know is like a weird dichotomy, contradiction, if you will. But there's a lot of articles out there about how people have been really diving into true crime in the past year. And I guess it's because it's like, you know, it's worse than a pandemic, like this horrible story of a horrible person.
Grisly murder.
Right.
In your neighborhood.
Right. In the manner of reflecting on our personal preferences and being old and our movie taste changing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about we both got married the same year. Did you get married in 2009?
We got married in 2010.
2010, next year. Okay, so 1 year
I
apart.
I waited for her to say it until I said the same thing.
You're
but
cheating.
I was close.
What would you do differently if you were going to get married again now that we're older and wiser? What would your bachelor party be like? Or bachelorette party? What would your wedding be like? Would it be the same? You could say it would be the same. But what things would you change now that you have hindsight and time to reflect?
I mean, I think I would keep mine mostly the same. I went to Atlantic City.
For the wedding or for the...
No, we did not get married in Atlantic City.
We didn't know you then.
Absolutely right.
It could have been anything.
You know, it was at a casino and there was a strip club involved.
A
gentleman's club.
Go on.
A traditional bachelor party.
You know, I think I'd eat better meals.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have splurged more on eating.
Like a steak. When you're younger, you don't think
it was like,
that,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you probably went to like Chipotle or something.
Ew.
Stupid. But
yeah, no. When you're younger,
no,
right?
I'm sure we got a steak, but I'm sure it was like
a buffet steak,
like an Outback.
Oh yeah,
you know,
Golden Corral,
like a nice.
Do you guys
steak.
Know Golden Corral?
Oh,
is
yeah.
that a central Pennsylvania staple?
No, they have them in Laurel. Oops, I'm gonna cut this part out because I just said a place. I don't want to give away our destination. Actually, I'll just make this. Okay, so traditional bachelor party, you would do most of it the same again. Guess you haven't evolved since you were 25.
Not so much. Like, I'd still like to go into it. I can't imagine the next time I'll be in a casino, but
yeah,
I like the thought of going into a casino. And, you know, the
chance wouldn't
of
you go to
better.
Like Las Vegas instead?
Oh, of course.
Do
yeah.
it up. See, there you go.
I guess. Yeah.
Class
I
mean, it up a little
now
bit.
You have more money.
I'd go to Macau. Like Monaco.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. If I could. What's the limitation?
Well, no, the limitation is, you know, what would be really enjoyable at your age and professional position at this point?
I love the blackout curtains in Vegas, so I can
mm-hmm.
sleep till.
Oh yeah, that's always
3
a perk.
O'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, really just, I keep it pretty similar.
What about our wedding?
Well,
I loved our wedding. I thought it was
about
like
your
the,
wedding.
Yeah, we don't know.
It was like the greatest party I've ever been to. I remember telling your father that John a little really bit loved buzzed.
It. John really loved our wedding.
I love you, man.
He was just like, this is the best wedding ever. My dad was so like, pumped. Okay, good night.
I thought it was, I had so much fun.
Yeah, it was That's really good. Fun. We got
you were not, you had a good time, but I think yeah. you were.
I had the flu.
You had other flu. Places to be. Oh, could have been better.
I had nowhere else to be, but I could have done without, like, puking in the bathroom the morning of my wedding.
You and, she doesn't show and you
and
in the
church bathroom on the way down the aisle
from the flu.
Yes,
that sucks.
So that was really crappy. Really crappy.
But it doesn't come through in the pictures.
Yes. Really. Except for the like anytime the photographer would be like, all right, now give her a kiss for this one, and I'd be like,
oh, like, this is gonna be this is a puckered kiss. This isn't.
Yeah. No, I think you were thinking this is true love.
Don't slip the tongue. No. Or this thing's off.
Yeah, our wedding was fun. We had a live band. I think that really made a big difference in our fun level. We got married in Florida, and it was like a little mini vacation for our guests, which I thought was nice. I guess at the time, I didn't really think of it as a destination wedding, but looking back, yeah, that's definitely a destination wedding. So if I was going to do it again, I'd probably make it even smaller, because I think some of my stress about the wedding when we were planning it was like people who couldn't come. Like, did I make a mistake having it so far away that people couldn't come? And now I'm like, oh, who cares if no one can come? It wasn't really about them anyway. Yeah, right? I mean, I love whoever came. Everybody who came, I just love you so much. But you know what I mean. Like, I don't want to make people feel like they have to spend all this money to go to a destination wedding. It would have been fine to have it be a little bit smaller, I think. And I would have liked to have had multiple dresses.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, like a chain? Like a
I'd like to have a costume
reveal?
Change. Costume change. Yeah. And I really, really, really wanted to have a coordinated wedding party dance, and no one would get on board. Oh, and I even applied. I remember on TLC, they were trying to have a new reality
That's
show.
That's a throwback. You just dated about, yourself.
About wedding parties doing synchronized dancing. Because remember, like,
it was a premise for a show?
It was a premise for a show. And I applied. Flash and mob. I never heard back, and I've never seen the show, so I guess it didn't make it either.
I would just like to say that if I had been in your life at the point when you
there
got
would have
married,
been a flash mob.
There would have been a fucking flash mob.
Yeah.
I would have totally been on board for that. But sadly, we did not meet until after we had both gotten
we
married.
We did do a coordinated, like, extensive ballroom dance
Everyone
demonstration.
Everyone had their own song, right? Or something, yeah.
What? I don't even know what you're talking
like
about.
Like a walk-in song?
Yeah, walk-in song.
Okay, that's a normal wedding.
That's a wedding tradition. That's not a flash mob. Mm-hmm.
It's like doing the chicken dance.
It seems like John
dance,
doesn't
like
know
just
some of the hipper things that people do now.
I would have... okay, I did think of one thing I would change.
Okay.
A larger dance floor.
Okay.
We took... I am a terrible dancer. Like, really bad.
I don't think I've ever seen you
Stephanie
dance.
Stephanie and I took...
Put some music on.
Several months of intensive dance lessons.
It was intense.
Oh,
it was like a formal dance lesson?
Yeah. Formal, and there was like a fun one. I think it was salsa.
And then
about halfway through the course.
Is that a fun one?
The instructor said, you know, I don't think this is for you.
Yeah, he basically was like, you know what you're not going to do is this dance. Let's move on.
Let's just focus on your waltz or your foxtrot or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, all right. You know what? I wasn't upset by it. I knew going in I was bad.
You can only do one step back, one step over, like anything other than that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I remember being announced, we got to go out and walk up, do our, you know, first dance. I had the dance down. I was ready. And I was like, oh my God, there's only like 6 dance floor squares. How am I going to do this in this tiny area? I practice in a much larger. And it did feel
What was
weird.
It, like a cartwheel? Or like a
it
standing
did feel
back
weird.
Flip?
It was like, I'm going to take one step, and then I'm at the edge.
And, actually, our first dance was probably the most upsetting part of our wedding, because it was like the one thing that was pre-recorded. We didn't use the band. We did a Frank Sinatra song, and then the band leader cut it off too early, so we didn't get to finish like this dance we'd been practicing for months, and there was a dip at the end. I didn't get the dip.
You gotta keep going. You just keep going.
You should have just dipped.
Yeah, you just keep going.
Later on in the wedding video, there is a dip. We did dip later.
I think you cut it off
when you
dip
by dip.
We dip.
5, 6, 7, 8.
I
want to
watch the wedding video
all the way to the end. I know it was a video.
Sometime our next anniversary, we'll have a little viewing party.
Yeah, that'd be great. Does that stuff bother you? Like, oh, you gotta go out and do like a thing. Everyone's watching you.
Not for me. I think it was harder for John.
Are you
self-conscious? Do you not like to be the center of attention?
No, I mean, I will say, I've said this since we had them done, engagement photos.
Justin hates getting his
kiss. I was
the pretend like, oh, kiss her. Like
I remember on our engagement photos, they kept saying, just sit there like you're waiting for a bus. And I was like, I've never waited for a bus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Excuse me, my fiance is from Connecticut.
Like, this is very embarrassing. I'm not saying this because I'm proud of it, but I really don't know what that means.
Pretend like you're waiting for the country club waiter to come.
But no, John hated our
photos. I hated it because I was...
Me too.
Many of you know I am bald and have embraced...
What? Not at the time. I've seen your wedding photos.
Balding. See, he was mad that at his wedding photos he didn't go full.
He was. I mean, I will say that Stephanie loves me truly because I was balding when we met. So it's not, it wasn't a, oops, oh, surprise. She's a keeper. She knew what she was getting into. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't embraced the, I was still trying to fake it with the comb over or whatever.
I don't think you were, they were never doing a comb over.
I still had a fronts piece, I guess.
It was a slight bald spot. I've seen the pictures. You had hair. You had hair everywhere.
Yeah. And it just, it wasn't, it didn't take. And the Florida breeze.
The engagement photos, he has longer hair. Mm-hmm. In the wedding photos, he finally shaved it down, but it still wasn't as short as it is now. It was part of your hair evolution.
It was part of my heritage.
That's a keeper. I'm jealous of that, the wedding photo you have with everyone's looking up. Oh. Must have been a dude on a balcony or a crane or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool shot.
I had some, looking back on our actual wedding day photos, I had some dated, I think, glasses.
Well, we all are.
Well, but,
Well,
that's 10 years later.
10 years later, it wasn't dated then.
Yeah. I Photoshop them.
We have photos of me at high school prom or whatever. It's Yeah. Whose idea, shoulder pads? Whose idea was this?
Amy, talk about your bachelorette party.
Well,
yes, please.
I'm super type A, so I planned my bachelorette party. Not that my girlfriends couldn't or wouldn't. I was just I know what I want, so I'm just gonna do it, and you guys can come, and it'll be great.
You can come or not come, and I'm gonna have a great time either way.
So it was fun. We went to Ocean City, rented a house. And it was my six friends and then one of Justin's friends' flavor of the month, which was an interesting twist.
Let's dish the dirt on that one.
And yeah, I didn't know her very well, but she seemed nice enough. And she was fun to party with. But it was really fun. We went to the beach. We got matching t-shirts. We played pin the dick on the dude. We got drunk.
Did you have penis straws? Speaking
of Labra. Of course. Penis everything.
Penis everything.
I don't think they had any penis things.
I was into penis paraphernalia when I was
You planned that part yourself. You're like, I have the Oriental Trading Order ready to
place. My girlfriends, I took care of, we're getting this house. We're going. Here's the dates. They took all the care of the decorations, all that.
It's every little girl's dream to have penis-shaped gummies.
Exactly. I don't think there was any penis-shaped items at my bachelor party now that we're talking about it. I'll have to ask my sister, but go on.
Yeah, we had, they gave me some, dirty lingerie, and we went out to some clubs. We had, matching t-shirts that my best friend ordered for us that was awesome, and, it was awesome.
So what would you change about your bachelorette party?
So if I were to have a bachelorette party today, obviously the people would be different. I have some of my friends that were there before are still in my life.
Yeah.
I would have some new friends, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it'd be more chill. We'd go around a house, probably on the beach or near the beach somewhere. And just, hang out, have some wine. Spend some time together.
Yeah.
Have some activities.
Yeah.
But pretty chill.
More low-key.
Yeah.
It's very pandemic fine of you.
Yes.
Would it still be,
There would be some penises.
Yeah, how much?
My love of the penis has not changed in the 10 years.
I'm so glad.
It is an undying
So love. Maybe TMI for some if you know me personally, but that is a for sure thing.
She loves the dick.
I think that
you can ask any of my
you.
Close friends. It is a true story.
Till death do you pass.
Exactly. That is for sure. Sorry to any of my coworkers that are listening. And then our wedding, so we got married at the St. Regis in downtown D.C.
Name
drop. We were very particular about what we wanted. We had a black tie wedding on a Saturday in September. It was way hotter than we thought it was going to be. But it was lovely. We had like 95 people there. I think if we were to do it over, we would have way less people that I just wouldn't include. We were actually talking about, for a little bit, we had our 10-year anniversary last year, and for a whim, we were talking about doing a vow renewal.
Yeah. Oh God, if you told me that, I would have told you everything I know about vow renewals, which is that anyone who gets a vow renewal gets divorced, so don't
do it.
It's an absolute 100% scientifically proven no.
Real Housewives of Blank.
Stephanie, the reason have the people that we love yes. stand, like, we have like a party, and we just get up there and say we love each other, and our kids are there, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Amy got you t-shirts for your golf outing. What do they look like?
That wasn't the segue that I was hoping for into it.
What do they say on them? Justin's final, last golf before
final
the...
Final hole. Final.
Ew, final hole!
I really don't think that was it.
It should have been.
But it should have been, yes.
Oh, God, I don't
That's a
remember.
Real missed opportunity.
Really I'll think about it. Final, I don't remember it. This quite
my point.
From, or my something point. About the back nine? No?
My point from before.
Yeah, I ruined it. But there's plenty of golf jokes.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Justin.
My point. No, it's all good.
This podcast is your show. This podcast is getting
your
real lowbrow.
Completely new segue.
Yeah. Speaking of lowbrow. Point that I was angling for in the beginning is that I think I have a deeply held belief that the things that you experience at the time are the things that were supposed to be in that moment.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can look back later. There's stuff to change.
Mm-hmm.
You can, but you have to experience it in the moment.
I'm not saying change your 25-year-old self special part. I mean, if you were getting married right now, what would it be like?
Yeah, probably the same.
There you go.
It's the same.
With a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. I mean, your friends have not changed.
Yeah, it's the same. We just go to the golf course. Yeah, it's fine. It's
legit. You do the same bachelor party every week.
Okay. Yeah. What about the wedding? Would you change?
Nothing. I would change nothing. It was perfect.
That's nice, honey.
Nah, you're welcome. No, I really mean it.
No, I believe you.
It's the right thing at the right time, right?
Would you invite Steph and John?
No, they would be out.
That's so rude. Yeah. Exactly. That you could change it right now. All you had to do was say you'd invite two additional people.
They'd be
God.
Out.
I'm just kidding.
They'd be out. It was full.
Right.
It was so full. You didn't have any room. Coworkers you never talked to anymore were there, but not me.
No, I had to invite them, but you guys.
I think my bachelorette party was, you know, pretty traditional. We, like, went to a bar, we went to a drag brunch, we had a pole dancing lesson at my sister's apartment.
No, you're just glossing over a lot of stuff that should be
involved. No, and we had a great time the whole time. But now, and I think this is a reflection of pandemic fine and also my age, I would rather, like, do a yoga class, go to dinner, and go to bed.
Yeah,
that sounds
chill.
Really appealing.
Leave me alone and
exactly.
Take a nap.
Take a nap. I love naps. I don't think I said I would make it smaller.
How many
But I don't
people
think that, like, the genre of where we were or, like, the style of wedding would probably be pretty similar. Our wedding had, I think, exactly 99 guests.
Which are the exact people that you would cut out?
Let me name them now.
So
and here's
you
the list.
Only invite one additional person to get it to an even 100. Would it be me or
Oh, I like that.
That's very unfair. I'd cut you in half and have the top half be Amy, the bottom half be Justin.
I would be much more comfortable with Amy representing our family.
Than being cut in half, fine.
Yeah. Yep, she could send me the pictures. Turn it on.
All right, for our last question, what advice would you give yourself in February 2020? Justin?
I'm the one that's struggling with this question the most.
I know, John punted, though.
No, that's fair. He should. No, I don't believe that the future person is more knowing than the past person. I feel like the past person, not colored by the different experiences of the future, right?
Yes.
May inform what would have been the proper course.
But you are the person who that was in general.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Oh, can I just... Are we in the Matrix?
Justin and I talked about this question for, like, the last 20 minutes, and it's been
no,
a challenge.
No, we can't find out.
We can't quite figure out how
so
to phrase
no
it.
You have no advice to give yourself.
I think he does. I think I think...
Like, you haven't learned anything through the past experience
of
the past 14 months. So what have you learned that you could give yourself advice if you had to go through it again?
I have learned that it's easy to get lost in the work. Mm-hmm. There's always some task. There's always some thing that you're focused on in the immediate moment that seems to be all-encompassing. But when you get through it, it's not as important. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that my pre-pandemic self could have informed myself, not the post-pandemic self, not to worry about that stuff so much.
Yeah.
Because so much is in flux. No one really knows. No one knew anything beforehand, right?
True.
We were going to be out for like a week or two. I didn't take anything from my office. Pack up what you need. You know, a couple papers or whatever and a few pens. But, you know, oh, I'm going to go back and get monitor. Got to get everything, right?
It's true.
After like, oh, this might be a little bit longer than a week or two.
Nobody's staying inside for 2 weeks, so I guess we're still doing
this. Yeah.
I think the advice that I would give would be to slow down, because that's what the pandemic taught me to do. Because pre-pandemic, I was working a lot, commuting a lot, running around, doing everything, you know, at a very high speed. And it definitely taught us how to slow down, not fill our calendar, obviously, because we couldn't go anywhere. And now that things are opening back up, you know, we're not trying to rush around doing every single thing. We're not the, you know, if you read the Berenstain Bears books, not the busiest
bear. Too much pressure.
Busiest bear family in town. and so that is one thing. And then I think the other thing is just to, you know, remember what's important. You know, we both work full time, and the work will always be there. And so understanding what's important in life and making sure that you're prioritizing that over your work. So I think those are the two big takeaways that I would give to my pre-pandemic self.
My current,
it's not get too comfortable.
If I left my current job, did something else, and came back. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I mean, I love my coworkers dearly, and, like, they're the best people ever to work with. And that's one of the reasons why I came back. But it also would have been just fine and without question, like, probably wouldn't have thought about me all that often if I'd never come back, and that's okay. Like, somebody else would have done my job and would have done a good job at it, I'm sure. But I think that's something people don't realize. And for myself, like, switching jobs and going back was, like, the big lesson I learned, is that work will always replace you.
Yeah.
Unless I get, I guess, like, there are some irreplaceable people in the world, but I'm...
No, I didn't have a long commute pre-pandemic versus post. So, you know, work for me was always right down the street, but, you know, I enjoyed, you know, being able to see the kids more, and to cook. I think we talked about that previously, like, enjoying kind of different passions. I feel like, you and I are closer together, Stephanie.
Thanks for justifying, yes, which person I here guess, you're referring to.
Everyone. Yeah, I want the points for this. You know, I think we've slowed down a bit. I think we, mm-hmm. you know, we take more walks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's just because we're getting older. I think it's, you know, we just didn't have shit to do. We couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. I'm stuck with you. Let's make the best of this.
Let's try and get through it.
I remember
I think he said that in a loving way.
Well, love the one you're with. That was in a song. But anyway, you know, I remember feeling like really excited the first few weeks, not for like the horrible virus, yeah. but like, hey, now we're all going to be closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it turned into a few months. And, you know, but I think that I didn't get tired of you guys. I'm still, you know.
Thanks. We're really happy that you're saying you chose to stick around.
No, I'm not saying it was like a test. It was like a, you know. I think that we reprioritize what's important. And, you know, I didn't have to travel a lot for work, but, like, I wanted to be, you know, home more with these people that are also kind of stuck there, and let's all be stuck together.
Yeah.
A family that stays together, sticks together, or something. It's our new family crest. I think that my post-pandemic self would tell my pre-pandemic self that Well, I think one of the things I've grown to appreciate was that during the downtime, like all the time that we've had together and the way that you've been able to be like more present during like the daytime hours, not that you were commuting a long time before, but I think you missed out on a lot of like afternoon life in the house. Like I get home earlier from work, I pick up the kids from school, I deal with them for several hours before dinner. And when you're working from home, you were home. And so it was really nice to have you around. And then also you started cooking more and making dinner, which was always nice too.
Yeah, sure.
And one of my new phrases that I've been saying for months now is everybody needs a John. It's the best. And that's what I learned during the pandemic. I was telling my pre-pandemic self, like, it's going to be fun because John is the best and he does a lot of amazing things. And this made me appreciate you a lot. Now, wasn't that nice?
I thought you were going to say.
Well, I don't hate you.
If you don't wrap the podcast right here, you're doing it wrong.
I thought you were going to say your post-pandemic self tells your pre-pandemic self, it's hard to say, don't travel to Wuhan and buy that bat for John's cooking.
Okay, all right. I also do feel like really guilty that I don't say this more often in the podcast, but I also think it's important just to make sure that I'm saying it out loud, that like all of this is a conversation I can only have because we are very privileged to have all the things we have. And like a lot of people went through the pandemic with way more hardships than we ever even had to think about because of their jobs or their professions or their location or, you know, a million other factors. And I just want to make sure people know that I'm aware that this is not everyone's reality.
Yep.
Anyway, not to end on a downer, but I just want to make sure I said that. I guess I'm going to wrap this up right here. It's getting late. We've drank through all of our
Literally out of beer.
Recording beverages, shall we say. And we'll have to just revisit some of this stuff, including the mind-boggling notion of your pre-self knowing more than your post-self. Stay tuned.